Well, over 10 years ago, I went on my first trip to Jamaica, along with about 20 high school youth and adults from Zumbro. Now, I wasn't with Jeanette and the group on their trip this last week, but the reports are that they had a wonderful time. We did that first year, too, but I will admit, I was initially a little nervous about traveling to a country I'd never visited before with other people's children. It was certainly a summer road trip unlike any I had ever experienced before. Finally, a few days into the trip, I relaxed. All was going well. The greatest difficulty had been getting several hundred diapers and a few dozen jars of peanut butter through customs. On about day three, Miss Michelle, who was then the director of Robin's Nest Children's Home, decided to take me with her on an adventure. We were going to travel back down the hill where the orphanage sits and into the town of Montego Bay. Some of the children needed to be picked up from swimming lessons. "I want you to meet somebody first," she told me. I enthusiastically agreed. I'm almost always up for an adventure, and it was a good time in the week for me to take a short break from the group that I was leading. Miss Michelle looked at me with a smile and a twinkle in her eye. That should have been my clue that I was in for a memorable experience. Soon we were jostling and rocking our way down the hill. After about 15 minutes, we'd traveled about half a mile and through no fewer than 50 potholes. As we wound around a tight corner, I held my breath. With a jerking slam on the brakes, Miss Michelle announced that we had arrived. "I want you to meet Leroy," she told me. "He's the leader of the Jamaican Mafia." And at that, she grabbed a bag of stuffed animals, opened her door, looked at me, and said, "Well, come on, what are you waiting for?" Well, I got out of the van with my eyes wide open. After some silent prayer and a few minutes of small talk, I did what any responsible youth leader would do. I had my picture taken with Leroy. There we are. While we visited, Miss Michelle handed the bag of stuffed animals to him. They were for his kids. I watched as a handful of children ran around playing behind us. And then Leroy looked at me and began to talk. "Ain't nobody gonna mess with the kids up there at the nest. They know I'm protecting them. I look out for them kids, and Miss Michelle, she takes good care of me and my family." I smiled and watched as Michelle gave Leroy a hug goodbye, and then we were on our way. I'll never forget that moment when Miss Michelle announced that we were stopping by the home of the leader of the Jamaican Mafia. I was quite grateful that none of the youth from the mission trip were with me. I admit, I didn't really know much of anything about the Mafia in Jamaica. It hadn't been covered in the travel books that I read. But my imagination was filled with plenty of ideas, and none of them were good. Yet the encounter I witnessed between Miss Michelle and Neat Leroy was nothing short of beautiful. They both knew who the other one was, and yet somehow they had a special compassion for the other. Despite all of their differences, there was deep respect between them. I was changed by my encounter with Leroy. Jesus was on a road trip from Judea to Galilee, and instead of avoiding Samaria, like many religious leaders would have done, he went straight through. I suspect that any onlookers to Jesus asking the Samaritan woman for a drink of water might have been as surprised as I was watching Miss Michelle hand over the bag of stuffed animals to Leroy. First of all, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And secondly, women and men kept a much safer social distance from one another than this encounter suggests. But as we see time and again in Jesus' ministry, Jesus goes out of his way to encounter an outsider. But there's always been something about our interpretation of this Bible story that has bothered me. If we read on a few more verses in John chapter 4, we discover that this woman has had five husbands. It's easy to form quick judgments. One famous preacher once described the Samaritan woman as a worldly, sensually minded, unspiritual harlot from Samaria, and then later on described her as a whore. But here's the thing. We don't know that this is the case at all. She could have been widowed or divorced or abandoned. Though five times might seem unlikely, it was absolutely positive, possible. In fact, there are varieties of ways in which this woman's background might just be more tragic than scandalous. During Jesus' encounter with the woman, they both offer the other what each of them need. Jesus was probably tired from walking long days in the hot sun. He came to the well for water, but had nothing to drink with. But the woman did. Likewise, she came to the well and was noticed and seen by one she quickly described as a prophet. And Jesus had to offer what it was she needed, transforming, living water. But if both of them would have allowed their differences to take precedence, the life-changing encounter might never have happened. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks delivered a TED Talk recently called How We Can Face the Future Without Fear Together. Rabbi Sacks says that one of the most simple ways to look into a culture is to ask, what do people worship? He believes that generations from now, when anthropologists look back at our era and observe the books we read on self-help, self-realization, and self-esteem, and when researchers discover our obsession with the selfie, they will conclude that in our time, we worship the self, the me, the I. When we have too much of the I and too little of the we, the rabbi says, we can find ourselves vulnerable, fearful, and alone. So how does Rabbi Sacks believe we move beyond the self, the me, the I? We need to renew our face-to-face encounters with those people who are not like us. Because it's in those face-to-face encounters, he believes, that we discover that the people not like us are just people like us. Author Elizabeth Lesser is leading an initiative that she calls Take the Other to Lunch. She's deeply disturbed by the ways we demonize those who are not like us in our culture. And so she kicked off her initiative by following her own advice. Elizabeth is an activist from the political left. And so she invited a more conservative woman from the local tea party to lunch. Elizabeth's lunch partner and her came away with some helpful insights. Near the end of the conversation, Elizabeth asked, "Why does your side make such outrageous allegations against my side? Like we're a bunch of elitist, corrupt terrorism lovers." In her response, her new friend shared, "Why do you call us blameless, gun-toting racists?" Elizabeth and her lunch partner both marveled at how neither of them knew anyone from their side that fit those labels. Because they had developed some trust during their encounter, they believed one another and agreed that they would each stick up in their own communities when they witnessed that kind of extreme otherizing talk that simply wasn't true. So might you be brave enough to accept Elizabeth's challenge and take the other to lunch? Are you willing to get to know someone from a group that you may have negatively stereotyped? Maybe it's someone younger or older, someone with deeply held different political views than you, someone who is gay or transgender, someone who's an evangelical Christian, or someone who is Muslim. Before you get together, Elizabeth suggests that you agree on some ground rules. They agreed upon some simple guidelines at her lunch. Don't persuade, defend, or interrupt. Be curious, be conversational, be real, and listen. Here's the thing. This isn't easy work. If just the thought of doing something like this gives you butterflies in your stomach, then you are normal. But like many things in life, I think the risk is worth it. You see, there's something beautiful that happens when we encounter the other. Our beliefs are challenged. We learn, we grow, we're stretched, and we just might build a bridge of understanding and peace. When Miss Michelle threw me out of the van to meet Leroy, I had all sorts of quick judgments. But what I discovered was that God could use a broken man who had probably made mistakes in his life I didn't want to know about, to protect and care for some of the most wounded children in the country. The encounter changed my perspective about who could join in God's mission. When Jesus and the Samaritan woman encountered one another at the well, they discovered that despite all of their differences, they had something that the other needed. When Elizabeth took someone from the other side of the political aisle out for lunch, they both learned that their assumptions about the other were extreme and inaccurate. It's easy to associate with the people who agree with us or look like us or believe the same things we do. But whether you're on a road trip or at a family reunion or in the middle of the grocery store, people who are different than you surround you. And these are the people that God created and that God loves. My challenge to you is to reach out to someone on your journey that is different than you. You might be surprised. The person who might be changed the most by the encounter just might be you. And when that happens, the kingdom of God gets a little bit bigger. Amen.